This is Pat Perry from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Today's stories include Chasing Amazon, Retailers Are in a Never-Ending Arms Race, and a poll, Energy-Saving Habits Vary in Popularity. And we'll begin with Chasing Amazon, Retailers Are in a Never-Ending Arms Race. Retailers are trying everything they can to keep up with Amazon. Macy's offers same-day delivery and in-store returns for online purchases. Black Friday deals are already starting at Kohl's, and Kraft cocktails are serving in the women's shoe department at Nordstrom. By one measure, these strategies are working. After years when it seemed as if Amazon was swallowing the industry, many large old-school chains like Kohl's and Macy's have largely stabilized their lagging sales. But those victories may be short-lived because retailers are caught up in a seemingly never-ending race against Amazon. The more they spend to compete, the more their profits are sapped. And even when they succeed in attracting customers, Amazon responds with new ways of delivering inexpensive items as quickly and conveniently as possible. Is this an arms race that never stops? Asked Christina Boney, a senior credit officer at Moody's focused on retailers. That has still to be determined. And it's not just Amazon that has been shaking up the roughly $3.6 trillion retail industry. Dozens of startups backed by private investors not concerned with immediate profits have been chipping away at department store offerings section by section. The costs are weighing on many retailers. Even in a relatively strong economy, when consumers are expected to spend heartily during the holiday shopping season, which begins in earnest this week. Just last week, Kohl's said that its quarterly profit had dropped 24% and that profits for the year would be less than previously thought. These same online forces have led in recent years to record store closings and prominent bankruptcies like Sears, Toys R Us, and Barney's New York, and they are pressuring a wider circle of retailers that have seemingly adapted well to the era of online shopping. The result may be that Americans find themselves with fewer places to shop. Some retailers are in a tough spot, said Jay Soll, a retail analyst at UBS. Sales have gone up, but profit margins have gone down. Especially hard hit are the big sellers of apparel and accessories like Nordstrom, which are grappling with the dual cost of running fast and efficient e-commerce operations, while also keeping their stores inviting and relevant. Last month, Nordstrom opened a giant new store just south of Central Park, the single largest project investment in the company's 118-year history, featuring 19-foot ceilings and specially commissioned artwork. On opening weekend, the crowds were so thick that shoppers trying on shoes had to take numbers as if they were at a deli counter. The seven-floor colossus, bigger than a Walmart supercenter, adds to the retailer's range of efforts in Manhattan, like Nordstrom Rack outlets, new hubs for online returns, and a men's store. Still, as it tries to be all things to all shoppers, Nordstrom's operating profit margin is nearly half what it was 8 years ago. Last week, Nordstrom said its margins had improved slightly in the third quarter as it cut expenses, although sales fell. At Kohl's, the strategy to win over customers is less flashy but no less costly. The department store chain is ramping up discounts to drum up sales ahead of the holidays. And unable to beat Amazon, Kohl's is trying to join in. Kohl's now accepts Amazon returns at many of its 1,100 stores, packing, labeling, and shipping the items free in an attempt to get more people to walk through its doors. The retailer's chief executive has called the partnership its single biggest initiative of the year. Competing with Amazon has never been a fair fight. For decades, the online giant has appealed to investors by growing quickly, even as it lost money on shipping, building out of its warehouses, and developing gadgets like the voice-activated Echo with Alexa. Amazon also runs a cloud computing business, Amazon Web Services, that can increase the company's overall profits. In its most recent quarter, Amazon said profit fell 28% as it invested in one-day shipping initiatives. Leading up to the holidays, Amazon is only getting more aggressive. It is expanding the items it will ship free in a single day to Prime customers. According to Morgan Stanley analysis, the typical order for one-day shipping is $8.32, and Amazon spends $10.59 to fulfill and ship it, meaning the company loses money on many of its sales, but Amazon may satisfy a more valuable goal, pressuring other retailers to deliver the same level of convenience to keep their customers. Retail is a huge industry, and not every chain is being squeezed. Walmart and Target have evolved from big box stores into retailers that have succeeded at offering the same conveniences as Amazon, like one-day delivery. They have managed to thrive because they are helped by a wide range of products, like food and household staples, that customers have to buy on a regular basis. Their sheer size also allows them to pressure their suppliers to lower the cost of their goods, which frees up money to invest in e-commerce. Still, Amazon seems to have most of the advantages. The company is building out its own fleet of airplanes, delivery trucks, and couriers, while other retailers must contend with rising rates to ship through FedEx and UPS. While retailers are coming through with a very, very competitive digital shopping experience, said Kimberly Greenberger, a retail analyst at Morgan Stanley, they are pouring money into their e-commerce operations. At the same time, their stores are bringing in fewer sales. Just when they seem caught up, Amazon raises the bar again. It just continues this vicious cycle that retailers find themselves in, Greenberger said. Macy's is one retailer caught in this cycle for years. Founded in the 1850s, Macy's spent generations expanding its reach, acquiring regional department store chains and building new stores in shopping malls. Facing pressure from e-commerce and seeing less traffic in malls, Macy's has spent the past few years dismantling that brick-and-mortar empire. It has sold off some of its most iconic stores to raise money to reinvest in its online business and modernize its remaining stores. After three consecutive years of losses, Macy's sales rebounded last year, but its operating margin is projected to fall 5% this year from a recent high of 10.2% in 2014, according to Capital IQ. On Thursday, Macy's said Sales had sunk more than expected in its most recent quarter, driving down the company's shares to their lowest price in a decade. It's a different model you're competing with today, Terry Lundgren, Macy's former chief executive, said in an interview, pointing to Amazon's business outside of selling items like shoes and blouses. It's the reality of competing against a retailer who is purposefully reducing the price and not as concerned about making money on each item. Lundgren said the ideal transaction for major retail chains today is a consumer who browses online and then visits stores to buy or pick up the actual merchandise. That eliminates shipping cost and reduces the chance of a return because the customer has touched or tried on the item. In addition, customers end up spending more on store visits, he said, noting that when he was leading Macy's, people who picked up online orders ended up spending an additional 25%. I really wanted to keep encouraging that kind of transaction, Lundgren said. And next, energy-saving habits vary in popularity. Turn off the lights when they aren't needed? Check. Lower the thermostat a few degrees in winter? Maybe. Go full-time vegetarian? Probably not. Americans are willing to go only so far in engaging in habits that conserve energy and reduce emissions that are warming the planet, according to a new poll by the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. The poll adds to research showing that many take modest steps they consider convenient and feasible and good for their pocketbooks, but actions that would involve significant lifestyle choices such as diet or transportation are in a tougher sale. Roughly 9 in 10 Americans say they often or always turn off unnecessary lights, including 6 in 10 who do so all the time. About half often or always set the thermostat at 68 degrees or lower in winter to reduce heating, while slightly fewer say they keep summertime air conditioning temperatures at 76 degrees or higher. It has to be pitch dark outside for me to turn on a light, said sandwich shop worker Tay Harris, 25, of Terre Haute, Indiana, who said she wants to help with climate change and considers it common sense to save electricity. If you have the beautiful sun that God blessed us with, use it. The poll found out about 2 in 10 Americans often or always use public transportation, carpool, bike, or walk instead of driving, while nearly 3 in 10 do so some of the time. Similarly, while only 5% say they always eat vegetarian meals, another 13% said they often do so, and 37% said they sometimes do. Meat production contributes to global warming in numerous ways, scientists say. It generates manure that releases methane to the atmosphere and encourages destruction of forests that store carbon dioxide, the primary greenhouse gas, to clear land for pasture and livestock feed crops. Overall, 14% said they frequently plant trees. About 6 in 10 city dwellers said they rarely or never plant trees, as opposed to about half of those living elsewhere. The APNORC poll of 1,058 adults was conducted in August 15 through 18. The margin of sampling error for all respondents is plus or minus 4.2 percentage points. Climate concern isn't the only reason Americans conserve energy. Previous research by the APNORC Center suggests another motive is saving money. The latest survey conducted last month shows that some people who don't believe in climate change routinely take actions such as turning off lights and limiting the use of heat and air conditioning. So do many who acknowledge the planet is warming but think it's happening naturally. Americans with college degrees were more likely than those without them to say that they always or often set the thermostat lower in winter and higher in summer, and as well as eat vegetarian meals. And next, Charles Schwab buys rival TD Ameritrade. Charles Schwab is buying rival TD Ameritrade in a $26 billion stock swap, a blockbuster agreement brought about by massive disruption in the online brokerage industry. Bowing to competitive pressure, brokerages have made it free for customers to trade U.S. stocks online. A combination of two of the biggest players in the industry would allow Schwab to save billions of dollars and make up for revenue lost from no longer charging investors such commissions. The tie-up creates a company so big, however, that it may draw scrutiny from antitrust regulators. The combined company would have more than $5 trillion in client assets under management. With this transaction, we will capitalize on the unique opportunity to build a firm with the soul of a challenger and the resources of a large financial services institution that will be uniquely positioned to serve the investment, trading, and wealth management needs of investors across every phase of their financial journeys, Schwab CEO Walt Bettinger said Monday in a prepared statement. The transaction would give Schwab an additional 12 million client accounts, $1.3 trillion in client assets, and approximately $5 billion in annual revenue. The combined company is expected to control 24 million client accounts. By itself, Schwab controls roughly half the market for holding money managed by and providing other services to registered investment advisors, according to estimates by Kyle Voigt, an analyst with Keefe, Bruyette, and Woods. TD Ameritrade may control about 15% to 20%. The rewards for passing regulatory muster would be lucrative. A combined company makes strong strategic sense, Voigt said. It would also save up to $2 billion in annual cost. The deal could also herald more mergers across the industry. The full impact of the merger on consumers is still to be determined, but it's the result of several industry-shaking moves that have drastically lowered cost and made trading easier for customers. And a larger Schwab wringing out cost cuts for itself would likely have more wherewithal to keep expenses low for its customers, analysts said. Schwab sent shockwaves through the industry less than 2 months ago when it said it would do away with commissions for online trading of U.S. stocks and exchange-traded funds, fees that have long fueled the industry. All major brokerages have followed suit. Beyond players like Schwab, TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, and E-Trade Financial, apps like Robinhood.com out of Palo Alto, California, have entered the fray in recent years to help customers get invested in the market. All the increased competition and lower fees means investors can now whip out their phones and buy a low-cost ETF in an instant, all while paying zero commissions. It marks a golden age for investors because minimizing cost is one of the easiest ways they can maximize returns as they save for retirement, college tuition, and other goals. But the fee war has sapped brokerages' revenue. TD Ameritrade, for example, said last month that it expected its earnings to fall in the current quarter because it dropped commissions. It estimated the revenue hit to be up to $240 million per quarter. Merging with another company helps to lower cost. Such combinations in the industry typically see the acquirer shaving off 50% to 70% of the cost of the buyout target, while holding on to about 90% to 95% of its revenue, according to analysts at Barclays. Beyond commissions, brokerages make money from account fees and from interest earned on customers' cash, among other things. Schwab and TD Ameritrade made a combined $2 billion in net interest revenue in their latest quarters, for example. Rival Fidelity pointed out how Schwab and TD Ameritrade made some of that money by paying customers lower rates for cash in their trading accounts, known as sweep accounts. Fidelity, which is privately held, would have had more in total customer assets than a combined Schwab. The deal between San Francisco's Schwab Corporation and TD Ameritrade Holding Corporation of Omaha, Nebraska, would marry the biggest publicly traded brokerages. Schwab had $3.85 trillion in total client assets at the start of the month, while TD Ameritrade had $1.3 trillion at the end of September. TD Ameritrade stockholders would receive 1.0837 Schwab shares for each TD Ameritrade share they own. The deal is expected to close in the second half of next year. It's anticipated to take 18 to 36 months to integrate the two businesses once the transaction is complete. The corporate headquarters of the combined company will eventually relocate to Schwab's new campus in Westlake, Texas. Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts, the son of TD Ameritrade founder Joe Ricketts and a former chief operating officer at the company, said he'll try to persuade Schwab to keep a presence in Omaha. The Toronto Dominion Bank, which currently holds approximately 43% of TD Ameritrade stock, will have an ownership position of approximately 13% in the combined company with other TD Ameritrade stockholders and existing Schwab stockholders holding approximately 18% and 69%, respectively. TD Ameritrade suspended its search for a CEO, naming Chief Financial Officer Stephen Boyle as interim CEO. The current CEO, Tim Hockey, announced in July that he would be stepping down early next year. Shares of both Schwab and TD Ameritrade rose Monday, on top of the sizable gains seen Friday when CNBC first reported that the companies were pursuing a deal. And next, China toughens rules on patents and copyrights. Beijing, China issued new tougher guidelines for protection of patents, copyrights, and other intellectual property in a move that may be timed to help along halting progress in trade talks with the United States. The guidelines issued late Sunday by the State Council or Cabinet and by the powerful Central Committee of the ruling Communist Party order beef up laws for protecting such intellectual property rights, increased compensation for infringements, and stricter enforcement of existing laws. They also lower the threshold for criminal prosecution of IPR offenses. The new blueprint makes protection of intellectual property one of the criteria for evaluating local government officials' performance, creating a greater incentive for compliance. In past decades, officials were judged mainly by political loyalties and economic growth in their localities. More recently, China's leaders added environmental protection to such evaluations. Putting future promotions and income on the line could create much stronger motivation to more effectively enforce such laws. theft and forced transfers of technology and inadequate protection of copyrights, patents, and trademarks are perennial complaints of foreign companies operating in China and are among the key issues in the latest flare-up in trade tensions. Despite much progress, China continues to be a haven for counterfeiting, digital piracy, and IP theft, the U.S. government's International Trade Administration said in a recent report. It said piracy of U.S. intellectual property by China cost American companies up to $600 billion a year. Piracy is also a domestic concern. The government has long said that companies are less likely to innovate if they cannot profit off the results of their investments due to piracy of their products and technology. The IPR guidelines issued by the official Xinhua News Agency did not refer specifically to the trade talks. Improving those protections is the driver of our country's economic competitiveness, it said. The new rules call for greatly increasing the maximum amount of compensation for damages linked to IPR infringements and include confiscation of illegal income, destruction of counterfeit goods. The guidelines did not include specific penalties, which would come with later revisions of laws and regulations. They call for significantly improving the enforcement of IPR protections by 2022. Hopes for progress in resolving the costly trade dispute between the China and U.S. have revived in recent days with upbeat comments from both sides. President Donald Trump said Friday at an NCAA National Collegiate Champions Day event that the China deal is coming along very well. He suggested he might not sign a congressional resolution in support of human rights in Hong Kong following months of protest out of concern that might derail the trade talks. A desire to keep those negotiations on track was a factor deterring China from intervening in the turmoil, he asserted. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by a Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time. Thank you.